And good evening, everybody, and welcome to OnPitRoad.com's preview of the 2016 running of the Rolex 24 at Daytona. I am Matt Embry, senior sports car writer for OnPitRoad.com, and over the next 30 minutes, we'll take a look at all the action coming up here this weekend. Of course, qualifications start at Daytona International Speedway, the 3.56-mile mix of tri-oval for the NASCAR cars, and infield road course. Of course, the infield bus stop chicane on the Daytona Superstretch included as well for good measure. 24 hours of racing. Practice gets underway on Thursday. Qualifying also on Thursday. Then one day to preparation for the race on Friday. And then green flag on Saturday afternoon at around 2:40 p.m. Eastern time. And then twice around the clock. First one back at the finish line at 2:40 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, January 31st, will be the winner. A lot of action coming in. Of course, a lot of interesting news over the last week for those of you that have been following the circuit over the last couple days. And certainly a lot to look forward to. Of course, action coming in the professional categories of Prototype and GT Le Mans. And then the amateur categories of Prototype Challenge and GT Daytona. Of course, GT Daytona and GT Le Mans with the new regulations in play for 2016, some faster and more competitive racing is expected. We've already had a little bit of action as far as getting ready for the big event, the Roar Before the Daytona 24 taking place 2 weeks ago. However, though, things have changed. Balance of performance changes coming in play last week, and it could create a totally different mix compared, or opposed to in this case, what we saw 2 weeks ago in the open test. We could have a new set of players at the front, and drivers and teams that were near the front may not be there when we get to action coming up, especially on qualifying on Thursday and in the race itself on Saturday and Sunday. A lot to get to. Let's get to business.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engine.
And, of course, the main focus is the prototype category. This is the last year before the new Daytona Prototype International rules come into play, in which four different chassis options to choose from. And, of course, multiple engines as opposed to the FIA World Endurance Championship, which will use one spec engine for LMP2. Not so in IMSA for next year in the WeatherTech Championship, but the focus right now on the current regulations of Daytona Prototype mixed with LMP2 eligible cars. And, of course, this could be the year an LMP2 car wins the big nest of golden eggs. Or at least that's the hope for some fans in IMSA Nation. And, of course, one of those entries that could very well do that among the P2s is the Michael Shank Racing with Kurt Bagajanian team, the number 60 Lige Coupe with Honda V6 power, turbocharged engine, 3.5 liters behind the driver, and a very solid driver lineup in the Tire Kingdom-sponsored entry. Car that won the pole last year for Daytona, unfortunately, did not make the podium. Oswaldo Negri Jr., the old veteran from Brazil, lead driver on this team. They've also got a solid driver as well in Olivier Pla, who won the pole for Krone Racing at the 12 Hours of Sebring last March. And then, of course, A.J. Allmendinger, the leader of Michael Shank's run to the overall win a few years ago when they were still running a Riley Ford Daytona prototype. And then, of course, the veteran John Pugh also rounding out this entry. Big question for this team, obviously, smarts and durability. Durability was one thing that plagued them in two of the four NEAC events as far as the North American Endurance Cup. And then, of course, smarts cost them at Sebring an early accident involving Oswaldo Negri Jr. headed toward the Allman Strait, knocked that car out in the first hour of the event. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. Certainly should be fast. The question is, though, how reliable And can they be a contender once we get to Sunday afternoon? That's the big question with that car. Also, though, there are other Ligiers that could challenge. One of them is the Ligier that is making a preparatory run for the FIA World Endurance Championship, their second go-around in the worldwide circuit, and that's Scott Sharp's Tequila Patron ESM team, also running the Ligier with Honda Power. First time, though, that they have run the 3.5-liter V6 engine, though, as opposed to the 2.8-liter engine that they have to run in the FIA World Endurance Championship. Scott Sharp, the lead driver on this entry. You got two veterans, though, Johannes von Overbeck and the newcomer, Pippo Durrani, Luis Felipe Durrani, also known as Pippo Durrani, who was the fastest man overall during the open test 2 weeks ago at the Roar before the Rolex 24. Then, of course, you got the CEO of Tequila Patron, Ed Brown, rounding out that lineup. Obviously not the strongest driver on that team, but has improved greatly, at least based on what we saw in the Roar before the Rolex 24. Then, of course, you talk about other LMP2 eligible cars that could challenge. Another one you've got is another car that we'll see in the FIA World Endurance Championship in all likelihood. That's SMP Racing. Yes, folks, the Russian Bears are giving it a go at the Rolex 24 with the BR Engineering car with Nissan Power. Of course, Nissan not an official partner with the circuit. However, though, that does not preclude them from running an engine for a prototype. Of course, that precludes them from running in, for instance, the GT division, such as GT Daytona. But Nissan running a power plant in that BR01 and a solid lineup of drivers, including a man that's going to be racing this year full-time in the IndyCar circuit. That is Mikhail Aloshin. You've also got a former Champ Car veteran in Nicholas Manassian, Maurizio Mediani, and Kirill Ladegen, who actually was the fastest driver and posted the fastest time during the Roar before the Rolex 21 or 24 open test. So certainly a solid lineup in that number 37 entry. Of course, though, you talk about other surprises during the Roar before the Rolex 24. Two other ones among the non-Daytona prototypes. How about the emergence of the Mazda? The Mazda Motorsports entry run by Speed Source of Canada. Team that had struggled for 2 years running the Skyactiv diesel power plant was near the back of the field on a regular basis, although they did manage to lead a couple laps of last year's Rolex 24 in the early going due to fuel mileage. But now they have a brand new 2-liter V6 gasoline-powered turbocharged engine, the MZ Turbo, and this engine certainly packed a punch during the Roar before the Rolex 24. Spencer Peugeot, the defending Indy Lights champion, who is going to run a few races this year for Bobby Rahal in the IndyCar Series, posting the fastest time in under 1 minute and 40 seconds, both cars in that 139 bracket. And impressive stuff. And you talk about impressive lineups. Maybe this is the time now we get to focus in on how good the driving lineups will be for Mazda. Of course, you have Jonathan Bomarito, who is a former champion with SRT Viper in GT Le Mans as far as a team championship goes. You certainly got a young prospect, a talented one in Tristan Nunez in that 55 entry, along with Spencer Peugeot. And then, of course, the number 90 car, three solid veterans in Joel Miller, Tom Long, Ben Devlin. Not necessarily the fastest guys in the world, but certainly consistent set of hands will keep the car out of trouble and should be able to show just how good they really are in actuality now that they have a car that matches their ability. Of course, the question is durability, as it is with any time you have a new engine package, but we're interested to see how that car last in terms of reliability-wise. And then, of course, you talk about reliability. That's something that has plagued the Delta Wing, which is in its final year of competition eligibility, unlikely to continue on into the new Daytona Prototype International Division. Elon Power Plant and a solid driver lineup again. And impressively, it's been the female driver, Catherine Legg. Of course, she'll be the lead driver for Grace Autosport in the all-females team's debut at the Indianapolis 500 coming up in May. You've also got a solid driver in Sean Rahal on this team, Andy Merrick, and Andreas Wirth, a solid four-driver lineup, and a car that has also shown some pace here in the past at Daytona, was a top-five qualifier for last year's Rolex 24 Daytona. Unfortunately, gearbox woes knocked them out early. Apparently those problems have been taken care of, and a lot of speed shown by this car during the war before the Rolex 24. But still, the focus, as far as in the long run, has to be on the side of the Daytona prototypes, most notably the Corvettes. There are four of them in this field, including the Action Express team that won this race 2 years ago with the Corvette. Christian Fittipaldi, Joao Barbosa are back. You've got a good driver in now Felipe Albuquerque, the fastest man in 24 Hours of Le Mans race history. And then a guy that's also going for his own history, Scott Pruett, formerly with Chip Ganassi Racing, not running the full schedule this year as he focuses in on a future run in GTD with the Lexus program that Paul Genalosi is putting together, along with Sage Karam as one of the drivers. A lot of good stuff going on with that one. Of course, Scott Pruett, five times a champion, currently tied with Hurley Haywood for the most overall victories in the history of the Rolex 24, looking for the record-setting sixth win, and he certainly is with a team capable of winning this race. Of course, won this race 2 years ago, won last year at Sebring, did Action Express Racing, and have won the last two IMSA WeatherTech Prototype Division Championships. You've also got some solid teams in that sister entry, though, for Action Express, the number 31 car that nearly won the championship on its own right last year. Dane Cameron, lead driver on this team. Simon Pagenaud, obviously a solid set of hands. Eric Curran, always improving on this lineup. And then, you've got the Sunoco Challenge winner, Johnny Adam, making his debut on the prototype. So it'll be interesting to see how he adapts. And it could be a key to them being successful or unsuccessful is how Adam is able to get up to speed in his first four-way in a prototype. Also, you got among the Corvette DPs, the Dallara design machine. Of course, the three of the four Corvettes are built by Coyote. That's the group that runs Action Express, led by Gary Nelson. This Dallara is the Wayne Taylor racing car, the Konica Minolta back entry. Of course, the Taylor brothers, Ricky the older, and the younger one, Jordan, on this lineup. And then, of course, the man known as the Axe, Max Angelelli, has been along for a long time and is looking for another win as well in the Rolex 24 at Daytona. And then, of course, the last of the Coyote entries, a car that was very unlucky to win, not to win the championship last year, the Visit Florida racing team. This is the ex-Spirit of Daytona team under the direction of Troy Fliss. New drivers across the board. Michael Valiente no longer with this team. Also, you have the situation with Richard Westbrook no longer with this team. We'll talk about where he is here coming up shortly. This year, though, Ryan Dial, formerly with ESM, will run with ESM in the FIA World Endurance Championship, but for now is driving for VisitFlorida.com. Alongside Mark Goossens, GT star, began his march in prototypes, but it's been a while since he's taken the wheel of one. It'll be interesting to see how he fares. And then, of course, you have the Indianapolis former 500 champion, Ryan Hunter-Reay, also on this lineup. So a lot of loaded cars. And then, of course, you have the Rileys, most notably the Chip Ganassi Racing pair, as they try to close out their prototype career as they focus in on GT duties with the new Ford GT with a victory with the Riley DP, a race that they have won multiple times, the Rolex 24 at Daytona, including last year. Solid primary entry, Lance Stroll, the 17-year-old Canadian prospect, leads this entry along with FIA World Endurance Championship veterans such as Brendan Hartley. Alex Ferguson, what could be his final career race before he hangs up his helmet for good. And then Andy Prio from Britain, another one of the Ford factory drivers that will be running in FIA World Endurance Championship for this weekend. He will be in a prototype. And, of course, the defending champions, the O2 machine, Scott Dixon, Jamie McMurray, Tony Kanaan, Kyle Larson, all won the title last year at this event, trying to do it 2 years in a row. Then, of course, rounding out the field, the over 50 set, the Highway to Help team running the Dynan BMW power plant with their Riley. Of course, the lead drivers among those, Dorsey Schrader and Jim Pace, a winner of this event back in 1996. So we continue to look through the field. A lot of focus in on Prototype Challenge with a couple major players at the top of the list, but some new faces in the division. It'll be interesting to see how they are able to make note for themselves. Of course, the team to beat, obviously, Corona Sports, so close to winning this race last year, if not for a 30-minute late crash involving Colin Brown that ended their day early. what to looked at the time to be almost a sure win didn't work out that way. Over the Core Auto Sport back in a big way this year with Jonathan Bennett's team, team boss leading the way, Colin Brown included, Mark Wilkins, the tough Canadian, and also the new driver on this team, Martin Plowman. Mix of sports car and IndyCar experience for the man known as Plowy in the racing terms. Solid lineup for Core Autosport in the Flexbox car, as always. Team that beat them last year, though, PR1 Matthesia Motorsports, kind of a new look for them. Although, yes, their team leader, Tom Kimbersmith, is back. Mike Gouache is not with the team, nor is Andrew Novich or Andrew Palmer. Robert Alon, Jose Gutierrez, Nick Bull, now an replacement of those three drivers. So it'll be interesting to see how they fared. Did not make too much noise at the Royal. Be interesting to see how they bounce back. Most likely challenger to Core, though, looks to be the Starworks team with two entries this year at the Rolex 24 at Daytona. Of course, the number eight entry with the impressive form of Renger van der Zande, the Dutchman. IndyCar star Jack Hawksworth on this entry. Canadian veteran Chris Cumming, along with the Venezuelan Alex Popoff, also on this entry, the Automax backed entry. And you've got the Popcorn Sutton back entry, the 88 car, with three interesting drivers, actually four of them on this list. Mark Kovaimi, Mauro Engel, Sean Johnston, and probably the big surprise, the Swede, Felix Rosenqvist, another upcoming star, particularly in open-wheel racing, both here in North America and Europe, North America and Europe, making his debut on sports cars and did quite well for himself at the war before the Rolex 24. Some of the other teams to keep an eye on, BAR1 Motorsports, the Brian Adler team with two cars. Johnny Mullen won the pole for this division last year at Daytona. Also got Tommy Dreese, of course, despite the one-year ban in SCCA Trans Am. He is here in one of the BAR1 cars. The other car, Ryan Eversley, the pundit himself, is leading that number 26 entry. Also got Adam Berzon along with Ryan Lewis and others in that car. Very impressive entry, certainly. Brent O'Neill's Performance Tech Motorsports team also back this year, but with a new driver lineup similar to the situation at PR1 Matthesian. Their lead driver, James French, is back, although you've got the Normans, Dr. Jim and his son, Josh. And then you've got Brendan Godovic also on that entry, the 38. And then rounding out the field, the 85 machine, that's the JDC Miller Motorsports, the John Church-backed entry with a very consistent lineup. Mikhail Misha Gokelberg, Kenton Koch, Steven Simpson, and Chris Miller. Solid lineup, but maybe not the fastest lineup in the division. But you talk about teams that could challenge, certainly Core Autosport the favorite. Starworks, though, a threat. We'll see what PR1 Matthesian can do in terms of defending their Daytona win from a year ago. New regulations and new stuff. You talk about GT Le Mans. There is a lot of things interesting. A lot of new cars. A new player in Ford. Let's get right to it. Of course, we start with the defending champions. Corvette Racing with a heavily upgraded Corvette C7R. Supercharged V8 5.5-liter engine. Only one of two teams that are running normally aspirated engines this year. Otherwise, turbos are starting to take over in GT Le Mans. And certainly, Corvette has their work cut out for them. However, though they did show well at the Roar, weren't the fastest car at the Roar before the Rolex 24, but certainly were not the slowest. You've got the very common lineups with Garcia and Magnussen, joined by Mike Rockenfeller. That's an impressive, you talk about wild card entry of things. Mike Rockenfeller, the Audi prototype star, now in this entry for Corvette. And then, of course, the number four machine. Obviously, you think about Oliver Gavin, Tommy Milner, Marcel Fessler. This is a guy that hasn't been with this team in 7 years, and he's back for another go in the number four entry. BMW, Team Rahal. Brand new car. In fact, they were literally begging BMW to make the M6 twin-turbo V8 GTLM eligible for this division. Initially, BMW had planned on just running a GT3 eligible car. This is a car, by the way, that cannot yet run at Le Mans as far as a GT2-based entry. It has not been approved yet by the FIA ACO. But boy, if it ever is, it is certainly a fast car. This was the fastest car overall at the world before the Rolex 24 at Daytona. Set the fastest lap in the very first session. Be interesting to see how they do, though, with the turbo boost cut a little bit in the latest BOP or balance of performance adjustments. Meantime, though, loaded lineups, four drivers per team, 25 entry with the Varicon Trailblazer, Bill Oberlin leading the way. We also got Dirk Werner, another veteran, touring car star, Augusto Farfus from Brazil and Bruno Spengler from Canada in the primary car. And then the number 100 entry, Lucas Lohr, John Edwards, Kuno Whitmer, and of course, you think of Team Rahal. Got to include Graham Rahal in that mix, a driver that just nearly won the IndyCar Series Championship. Been a big surprise last year. It'll be interesting to see how he fares and what he can provide to the team coming up this week. A few other entries also to focus in on. Of course, Ferrari with the new Ferrari 488 GTE, a car that they have been putting together right at the last minute. In fact, so much so that Ricci Competizione did not participate at the Roar Before the Rolex 24 as they were in Maranello, Italy, just getting this car together, then went to Fiorano to shake it down. Now stateside and ready to give it a go in Daytona. Be interesting to see how they fare with this first car's run and what could be very well an exploratory effort. But based on the driver lineup, you wouldn't know that. Giancarlo Fisichella, Tony Velander, two solid drivers, and then two more round out this quartet of drivers in the 62 entry for the Houston-based runners under Giuseppe Ricci. David Ragone, another solid driver that we've seen in the FIA World Endurance Championship, and then Olivier Beretta. Yep, he's back for another one. The man that used to drive for Viper, used to drive for Corvette, now driving for Ferrari. And speaking of Ferrari, they're not alone as far as Ricci is concerned. Two more Ferrari 488s in this field. Scuderia Corsa, who last year running a GTE amateur car, finished in the top three at the 24 Hours of Le Mans. Alessandro Pierguidi, who won this event in GT Daytona with Level 5 a couple years ago as the lead driver here. Alexander Primat, Daniel Serra, Memo Rojas. Of course, Memo Rojas with Delta Wing last year, 2 years ago with Ganassi, now in GT with Scuderia Corsa for the North American Endurance Cup Championships. And then, of course, you got the Russian Bears here as well. SMP Racing have won this event in GT Daytona with the Rolex 24 at Daytona, now trying their luck in the GT division, where, of course, in GT Amateur at Le Mans, they were the winners last summer. Victor Scheitar is back. John Maria Bruni, the Ferrari driver, has been loaned to this team for this event. Andrea Bertolini also loaned over James Collado. Normally, both Bruni and Collado with the AF Corsa team. You'll see them when we get to the FIA World Endurance Championship and Le Mans, of course, with AF Corsa, but getting some work on with that 488 for the S&P squad this upcoming weekend. And then Ford, brand new Ford GT, certainly looks like a challenger based on the timing sheets. They were certainly not slow at the Roar Before the Rolex 24, and they have a very solid pair of trios for the Chip Ganassi running team. Of course, George Howard Chappelle, a Multimatic, also part of this entry, will be the overseers mainly of the FIA World Endurance Cup team. But for IMSA purposes, solid lineups for both cars in the Ford GTs, the 66 entry, the primary car, Joey Han being jumping over from originally BMW. Last year was with the prototype for Ganassi. Dirk Mueller from BMW to Ford. Sebastian Bourdais from prototype down to GT rounds out that first lineup. And then the second lineup, Ryan Briscoe, IndyCar regular, drove for Corvette in the North American Endurance Cup last year. He's part of this entry. Richard Westbrook, another former Corvette driver, joins this team. And Stefan Mucha from Aston Martin to Ford rounds out the 67 lineup. And then, of course, question is, can anyone top Porsche? The 911 RSRs dominated the second half of the championship last year. Of course, the story, they rounded up the season, even winning overall at the Petit Le Mans, a very rainy Petit Le Mans, but they still managed to beat all the prototypes and claim overall victory improbably last year at Road Atlanta. And the team that did that, Patrick Piat, Nick Tandy are back, now with Kevin Estre, very talented Frenchman in that 911 car, used to be a factory driver for McLaren in the Pirelli World Challenge. And then, of course, you talk about Nick Tandy winning overall in prototype last year at Le Mans. Co-driver for that, Earl Bamber is the leader of the 912 car. Fred Makowiecki also on that car, Michael Christensen as well, and a loaded lineup, as always, for Porsche North America. The question is, though, speed. Lack of speed present in the Roar with the straight six V6 engine. Again, unlike the Ferrari, the BMW, the Ford, no turbocharger, but it'd be interesting to see how that car fares. Certainly had the pace of the second half of last year. They're going to need to find it quickly to challenge this upcoming weekend at Daytona. And then, of course, DJ Daytona with 22 entries in the field and a loaded entry. Of course, you had to be an official partner manufacturer with IMSA to be able to participate in this division with the high numbers. We have a lot of different brands here, including some new ones to the mix. Of course, the most notable being the Lamborghini Huracan GT3s, of which there are five of them in this field. Of course, the most notable one features Townsend Bell, Bill Sweetler, Eduardo Piscopo, Richard Antonucci. Of course, Richard Antonucci, the nephew of Eddie Cheever. This is the Oguera Motorsport number 11 entry. Solid entry there. Then, of course, you have Spencer Papelli, Corey Lewis, Justin Marks, etc. in the Change Racing number 16. Another solid entry. Conrad's looked good in practice as far as the Roar before the Rolex 24 with one of their cars, the 21 of McElhane and Busnelli, not part of that mix, but the 28 car, five driver lineup certainly has been quick. Ralf Incheon, Franz Conrad himself, Fabio Babini, Mark Bassong, and Lance Wilsey, very quick throughout the Roar before the Rolex 24 at Daytona Open Tests. Of course, they would have been even higher up on the timing chart had they run on Sunday, the final day of the test. They elected not to. Therefore, not necessarily noticeable in terms of the timing charts, but they certainly were competitive over the 2 or 3 day test 2 weeks ago at Daytona. And then, of course, you talk about other Lamborghini Huracans. The most impressive one, I think you would have to say, at least in my mind, as far as potential, the Paul Miller Racing Team. Of course, this is a team that ran Audis last year, electing to go instead with the Lamborghini this year. Bryce Miller, Mirko Bottolotti, Brian Sellers, formerly of the Falcon Tire team with Porsches in GTLM that no longer is around. That he has now moved down to GTD. And the young prospect Madison Snow, also a part of that Lamborghini entry. Of course, Audi with a brand new LMS R8 this year for 2016, and some new players in that mix as well. Stevenson Motorsports, the dominant force in the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, has moved up to the big boys this year with a couple cars. Robin Liddell, Lawson Ossenbach, Andrew Davis, Matt Bell, all full-time regulars paired up in the primary entry of this team, the number six car. Number nine car isn't bad either. Dion Von Moltke is in that entry. You've got the veteran experience, certainly Boris Said and Tristan Vautier. Kenny Havel also on that number nine machine. Further down the list as far as Audis, you've got the last year's Audi R8 in the hands of Flying Lizard Krohn Racing. Nick Johnson, Tracy Krohn, the regulars in that, also paired up with Christopher Hasse, who, of course, was with Paul Miller this past year, now a part-time driver this year. And then, of course, Pierre Coffer dropping down from the Risi GTLM team to join this team for Daytona and Sebring. Also on the list as far as Audi, Magnus Racing, another team that has made the switch from Porsche to Audi. Andy Lally, John Potter, Marco Seyfried are back. Rene Rast, now because of the Audi connections, now joining this car. Another solid lineup, and a lineup I think you'd have to say almost too good for the GT Daytona level, but that is allowed within the rules based on FIA driver ratings. They're all within the rules, and they are a quartet. The question is, how good will they be? We were talking about how good Turner Motorsports driver lineups were last year. Unfortunately, it did not work out for them. We'll see how it works out for the 44 boys coming up this weekend. And then further down the list as far as some other candidates in this division, of course, you have a brand-new Porsche 991 GT3R, several of those in the field. Alex Job Racing, Team Seattle, one of the big threats of that. Lee Keen setting the fastest lap during the Roar test. Got a solid quintet of drivers alongside Keen. You got Shane Van Gisbergen from New Zealand, the veteran Gunnar Jeanette, and then the McNeils, Father David, and Sun Cooper on the 22 WeatherTech-sponsored entry. And then the Heart of Racing Team Seattle, number 23. Wolf Ensler, the Porsche factory driver that was with Falcon last year, drops down to GTD for this entry. Mario Fonbacher is back, as are Ian James and Alex Riveras. Further down the list among the Porsches, you have the Fricadelli Racing Team. Fricadelli meaning meatball. The butcher himself, 55 years young, Koss Aberlin, bringing this team in along with his girlfriend Sabine Schmidt, the queen of the Nürburgring, as she is known as, drives the BMW taxi for guests of the Nordschleife circuit. And three very talented amateur slash professionals, Patrick Heisman, Frank Stippler, Sven Müller. Don't forget to laugh, folks, but this team, despite the meatball name, was second fastest among the Porsches during the war before the Rolex 24 at Daytona Test. So this car, in its North American debut, could provide a little bit of a surprise if you're looking for the so-called Buster Douglas slash Holly Holm upset pick. This might be one of them, the number 30 entry for Fricadelli Racing. Also, as far as Porsches are concerned, of course, you have the tried-and-true boys from Park Place Motorsports, Patrick Lindsay's squad, with the teenager Matthew McMurray this year. Also, Jörg Bergmeister, the factory driver from Porsche. Norbert Seidler, another solid amateur on that number 73 entry that won a couple times last year, including at Laguna Seca. And then, of course, you also have a Black Swan Racing Team, the 540 car, Tim Pappas, Nick Katzberg, Patrick Long, American Trailblazer on that car, and Andy Pilgrim, another driver long known for his work with GM, but driving a Porsche this weekend for the Black Swan team, another car that was very quick during the roar. Further down the list, of course, you had the defending champions in GTD from Riley Motorsport with those super-fast Dodge Vipers, and with the BOP changes, as far as balance of performance, should be even tougher yet to beat as we get to action coming up over the next couple days of action prior to the race itself on Saturday and Sunday. 33 entry has picked up sponsorship from the Gas Monkey Garage Energy Drink. Folks, some very snazzy designs on that car. Of course, Gas Monkey Energy Drink sponsored a multitude of cars in auto racing this year, sponsoring the Indy 500 entry, for instance, for Sage Karam. Also cars in NHRA competition, the Pro Stocker for Alex Laughlin, and the semi-run top fueler for Kevin Kinsley. So a lot to talk about as far as Gas Monkey, and got four very talented ones in that number 33 car. Of course, Jeroen Bleekemolen from the Netherlands. Got the owner of this car, essentially, from Viper Exchange, Ben Keating, Dominic Farnbacher, and Mark Miller. Two of those three drivers, actually three of those drivers, competed last year with a GT2 Dodge Viper in the 24 Hours of Le Mans entry they hope to make for a second consecutive year. And the 93 car, not bad either, with Keating being joined by Gar Robinson, the reigning Division II Trans Am champion from a year ago. Also, Jeff Mossing, Damian Faulkner goes from the GB Autosport team to this Viper, and Eric Foss. Unknowns, but could be a solid quantity in the Viper Exchange number 93 entry. That's the Dodge Vipers, again, with that big 8-liter V10 engine. Certainly can pack a punch on the Daytona High Banks. And, of course, you look further down the list. You also have, of course, the Ferraris, of course, not running the 488, that car, the GT3 version, not quite ready for competition, so they're going with the 458 this weekend. Spirit of Race, the AFC Corsa-based team, is here with Peter Ashley Mann, Matteo Crisoni, Raffaella Gianmaria, and Mauro Ciccocchi. Also have the very impressive lineup in the Scuderia Corsa GTD entry. This, unlike the GTLM entry, is a full-time runner. Christina Nielsen, who last year nearly won the title with the TRG Aston Martin team, now running a Ferrari next to Alessandro Balzan, who won the Rolex Sports Car GT Championship 3 years ago. Jeff Segal, also a solid driver, and Robert Renauer rounds out that entry. And then, of course, you talk about the BMW M6s. Well, they are here in the form of Turner Motorsport, except this time, Will Turner has brought in two cars this time for the Rolex 24 Daytona and for a majority of the season. Brett Curtis, Jens Klingman, the leading lady, Ashley Freiberg, and Marco Wittmann in the 96 machine. And the 97, Marco Marcel, Marcus Pottola, Maxim Martin, and Jesse Krohn, who was very quick during the roar, also part of the IMG Rewards Club entries. again running the twin-turbo V8 engine in those M6s. And then, of course, you round out with the Aston Martin, the V12-powered Aston Martin Vantages. Not necessarily quick, surprisingly, during the war before the Rolex 24, but watch out for them, certainly, especially when you've got a lineup like the 98 car for ProDrive has. The factory Aston Martin team, Paul Dallolana, Pedro Lamy, Matthias Lauda, Richie Stanaway, a team that should have won last year at Le Mans, if not for a last-hour crash. They would have won GT Amateur. Unfortunately, did not work out for them, but certainly they cannot be counted out when we talk about Daytona and Sebring in GTD. And then, of course, TRG AMR, new look for them this year. Mexican mainly lineup here with Santiago Creel, Ricardo Perez de Lara, and Antonio Perez, joined by the British-based driver Lars Vuonen. Not necessarily quick during the war before the Rolex 24. We'll see how the 007 fares. We get to the action coming up this weekend. So 54 entries, 22 in GT Daytona, 11 in GTLM, that's the GT Le Mans, 8 in Prototype Challenge. The remaining 13 are prototypes. So the question is, who is the favorite? Well, I think right now we could see history in Prototype as far as the overall win. I've been going with Action Express, saying that Dream Team lineup of Christian Fittipaldi, Joao Barbosa, Scott Pruett, Felipe Albuquerque, just way too impressive. Not necessarily the fastest car here, but it may well be the most reliable, and I think we could see a six-time winner in Scott Pruett coming up in just a few days' time from now. At least that's my projection in Prototype. Prototype Challenge, don't like going with the chalk here, but I kind of have to, I feel like, with the less impressive PR1 Mathesian Motorsports. I still think Starworks is going to give the Core Autosport team a run, but I think Core with Colin Brown, Martin Plowman, Mark Wilkins, and, of course, an improving John Bennett, way too much for this team, rest of the drivers to overcome. And then, of course, GT Le Mans, it is a toss-up. Any of these teams can win, but I think got to go with the defending champions here. And it will, as far as Corvette Racing, with the nod going to the number three entry, it's been the stronger of the two for the most part over the last few years. And that, of course, the team of Antonio Garcia, Jan Magnussen, and, of course, the newbie to the Corvette in this case, but certainly not two very strong entries, Mike Rockenfeller. And then finally in GT Daytona, again, a lot of toss-ups here. If you want to go with power, you go with the Dodge Vipers, the 33 entry, Blake Mullen, Keating, Farnbacher, and Miller. If you go for finesse, maybe you go for someone like the Alex Job, either 22 or 23. But I think right now at this point, I think with the BOP adjustments affecting certain cars and helping cars such as the Dodge Viper as far as 20 less kilograms of weight that that car has to carry, I think that's going to be the big advantage for them. And I expect back-to-back victories for either the 33 or the 93, most likely the 33 with a more experienced lineup at the controls, Ben Keating, Jerome Blinkenmolen, Dominic Farnbacher, and Mark Miller, the team to beat. But we'll see how things go. Of course, don't forget to follow us here at onpitroad.com for coverage on a regular basis as we draw closer to the green flag. We'll have a qualifying recap and a race recap with updates every 4 hours here at onpitroad.com. Of course, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at MATTEMBURY for action throughout Saturday and Sunday's festivities. So until the action gets underway, I'm Matt Embry. Thank you for listening to our preview of the 2016 Rolex 24 at Daytona, and enjoy the racing. Good night, everyone.